Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant Few Rangers podcast. My name's Colin McDuff and I'm delighted to be your host this evening as we try our very, very best to fill the Rangers-sized void in our lives as we're in the dreaded international break. So, but we're looking for a wee bit of support here. The listeners who are tuning in live on Facebook, YouTube and Twitter, get your questions in, please. It's a live Q&A. Here to hopefully bail me out and answer the hard questions for me. I've got a wonderful panel of three guests, and anything that's too difficult for me to answer, I'm going to put one of them on the spot. First of all, joining us from the continent, Davey T, how are you? Take yourself off mute, Davey. Wonderful start of the live pod.
Yeah, you just have to spend 5 minutes telling us to go on to mute. You should have told me if we were getting to switch it off. No, thanks. Yeah, missing the football. Who the heck invented international weekends? It shouldn't be allowed. No, just missing the Rangers. Not enough content anywhere.
I know. Ah, well, on the subject of content, you can now become a Gallant Few member for just £1 a month and get get additional content every day, including a daily news show. So a nice wee plug there. We did have Chris Hampton, who has conveniently fucked off as soon as I mentioned that he's going to be getting some difficult questions for the listeners, but also joining us and making a trail tonight. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I don't know where Chris is going. I can see a couple of those kind of sub appearances at the Legends game. People just pop around and say hello and then fucking off to the bar somewhere. But I am good, mate. I'm good, aye.
Good to have you on. Good to have you on. So a call to arms for the listeners who are watching live. It's pretty much a blank canvas. It's unscripted. Get your questions in the comments. It could be to do with the Legends game this weekend, Rangers in general this season, the upcoming summer transfer window, or just football in general, really. You guys ask it and we'll work through as many as you can. Please, as much as you can, that would be much appreciated. So, Davey, while we wait for the listeners' questions coming in, today is the 28th anniversary of Davey Cooper passing away. So also you were lucky enough to see Davey Cooper there in the flesh. What was it, you know, what does this day mean to you, and what was it like seeing Davey Cooper?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, Davey Cooper was in a time when I had already moved abroad, so I didn't really see an awful lot of him. In the games I did see, he was one of the very last real dribblers of a ball. You don't sort of get players in these days that could dribble the way he could dribble. The ball control that he had, it's everything. I suppose it's all because now that everything's at high speed, wingers have got to be more sprinters than real ball players. And David Cooper was one of the last ones. And I think one of the best things I can say about him is Ruud Gullit even had him in his best ever 11 players. So, I mean, that puts him quite high in my view, because I think Ruud Gullit played against some really good players. But no, David Cooper, and I think he'll always be remembered for the goal where he put the ball over about six Celtic players' heads and then put it into the net. So, but no, absolutely brilliant. Great guy. And just what a shame he was taken away so early. Really terrible.
Aye, it is an absolute iconic goal, and as we were speaking about earlier on before we went live, the word legend is bandied about too much, but I think the impact that David Cooper's had for the Rangers fans who watched him and the generation that followed after, he's absolute Rangers royalty. Chris, I'll come to you on this. First of all, welcome back. The listeners were disheartened to see you run away. But just on David Cooper, you would have been old enough to remember the David Cooper final. It was around the anniversary. Was it maybe the 20th anniversary? And Rangers played Motherwell, and we really both clubs put on a display for him. That was such a special day, wasn't it?
Absolutely, mate. And unfortunately, I never got to see him play for Rangers. He'd left Rangers by the time I was born. But watching videos and stuff like that, the guy was just magic. That cup final was great as well. And a lot of people forget is Big Kyriago scored that cup final, which is a rarity.
Oh, I shuddered when you said that name there, Kyriakos. Jesus. But
Rangers and Liverpool legend.
David Hurd, he's never seen a more naturally skillful footballer than David Cooper. Privileged to see Rangers' career. And Andy, I'll come to you. Also, you're a wee bit younger than us, and it was you that mentioned about the whole idea of Rangers legend. But as the representative of the young team, like, what's the name David Cooper mean to you?
David Cooper is what was the first word that comes to mind is legend. But to be honest, with the way the word legend is thrown about these days, I like to go with the kind of way that Football Manager categorises club information for legends and icons. Icons is probably a better bracket for him to go into, because if the club's going to have legends games where you've got Bruno Alves playing for Rangers, it's embarrassing, because I wouldn't have Alves and Cooper in a million years of, or a million brackets of skill. I know they're centre back and attacking, but there is no denying that the guy is a Rangers legend. He's an icon. I wouldn't even say legend to back up that kind of icons or legends, but he goes straight into the icons category with your John Greggs and Walter, I'd say.
Aye, and I think it's the mark of the man how former managers and players do speak about him. Not just the talent on the pitch, but the character he was, and like Alan McCoy speaks wonderfully about him. I could listen to Alan McCoy's read out the Yellow Pages, to be fair. There's not much he'll say that I don't really enjoy, but he does give such a good rendition of the stories and just how good a person David Cooper was as well. So really living that Rangers way of life as well as on the park. So we've got our first question in, and again, listeners, get as many questions in as you can over the next hour, and we'll fire through as many as we can. Davey Tomlinson, I'll come to you first. So, D-Mac, guys, do you think we need one or two goalies? I'm two. So, I'm guessing that D-Mac is saying he's all for two goalies and he's not 2 years of age. That'd be very impressive if he was on the live YouTube stream. But That is a very, very valid question, Davey. I think it's one we spoke about on the pod. Like all the podders have maybe had their top and swift in. How many keepers do you think we need in the summer?
Well, I think Rangers need to decide what they're going to do with Robbie McCrory. Are they going to keep him or give him a chance, or are they going to let him go? I think a decision needs to be made there. I personally never thought that he was good enough for the Rangers. Any time I've seen him, any time for the Rangers first team, although he did play the one game against Celtic, he did play quite good. But McLaughlin for me is just not good enough for the first team anymore. The shambles he had in the last game he played, and he had one in the beginning of the season that was a shambles as well. So he just falls away for me, and there's no point in keeping a second or a third goalkeeper that's going to be a shambles if he gets his chance. So we definitely need to get rid of McLaughlin. So if you want three goalkeepers, then we need two in front of Robbie McCrory. So McCrory would keep the third place, and we need two goalkeepers in front of him. And then John McLaughlin, we need to replace him because he's just proved that he can't do it. He's not up to the job.
Chris, I'll come to you next on the goalkeeping situation. I don't think MD will disagree that we need at least one goalkeeper, but the question being, do we need two? For me, I'm torn. I don't know if John McLaughlin is worthwhile keeping around as a number two and trying to feed Robbie McCrory into maybe more cup games. I do rate Robbie McCrory. Obviously, his injury's been unfortunate. So do we keep John McLaughlin as a challenging number two, a two and a half, if you like, and Robbie McCrory coming in? Having said that, is that a lot of wages for somebody who's not got to play at all? What's your thoughts?
To be honest, mate, I wouldn't want to see McLaughlin and the Rangers go again. The last games was at Ross County, at Ibrox, and Kilmarnock away, where he's obviously been out of the team for a wee while. It's his chance to come back in, claim his spot. I thought he had a disaster and sold two goals in the games. I wouldn't trust him to do the dishes. Do you know what I mean? Fans aren't that safe. For me, it's two new goalkeepers in McCrory. He needs to get a chance. At the same time, is there a reason we've not scored now until obviously he's been injured, but if you get me.
I think you broke up a wee bit there, but I think we get the point where is there a reason if he is that hyped up in the youth system and thought so highly of at Rangers? Why have we not seen more of him? I think that is a good point. Andy, we're very much fixating on John McLaughlin here, but I think there is a question mark over Alan McGregor. I think the majority of the fans do think Alan McGregor will be done. But the more you see Alan McGregor, the older he gets, the angrier he becomes and the more competitive he becomes. And also sometimes he is old man shouting at clouds, but I think there is that competitive edge. Do you see him wanting to hang up the gloves?
I think there's only really one person that knows the answer to that. I think it's Alan McGregor. I think he needs to have a proper conversation, just a proper chat with himself, maybe speak to the manager, speak to other guys and they've been there, that he knows, and talking to, maybe not for goalkeepers, but guys that have been there maybe a wee bit too long, and get a wider perspective, not just on the Rangers mad goalie that we know him as. Personally, I think it would be a good time to call it a day. I think you could make the argument that this season was one season too many, to be honest. It's tough because Alan is in his day is a great keeper. It's just, I don't know if that day has gone by now. There's been times this season where we've conceded a goal and it's been McGregor shouting at a centre-back, but then you look back in the replay and you go, could they have came out? Could they have done more? And I know that's, I don't want to stick the sword into a guy who's a great servant for the club before he left and coming back, being part of the 55 season. He rightfully deserved that 55 title. As I kind of, I think that would have been the perfect send off. Not that he had to retire then, but that would have been the crown in the crowning achievement in his career. But now, since we've had a poor season, it's kind of going to leave it on a sour note, which is a sad thing to say because he was so good. You know, you think of a handful of moments, Sporting Lisbon, you know, Werder Bremen, pardon me, not Sporting Lisbon, countless saves and Old Firm penalty saves. You know, my favourite one was in the 55 season where Griffiths hits a shot from outside the box, he gets a fingertip onto the post that goes out, and he goes, I didn't touch it. It's not a corner. I didn't touch it, even though he's made a superb save. But yeah, Alan has to have a word to himself. I think the goalkeeper question has been a question that we've kind of pushed away for the last few years, and I think that's another shameful moment for Ross Wilson, because we should have had plans in place. We should have been keeping an eye on people, and we did a bit last season, but then we threw it away and said, "I'll come back another year." So it'll be interesting to see what we actually do now that the time is now to make a decision, in my opinion, and not just leave it.
It's the most is very Rangers-esque right now to leave these decisions right to the last minute, as we've seen with the squads. Davey, you really come in there?
Yeah, one of the other things I was just thinking about McGregor was I can't remember what game it was now, but we had a narrow lead, and McGregor had hardly touched the ball all game, and he went down for cramp with cramp to waste time. I thought that was quite funny. That was one of the memories that McGregor will stay with me. But I mean, McGregor's been a great man for the club, and he's done absolutely brilliant. Whether you could possibly keep him as the third goalkeeper, if we're not going to stay with Robbie McCrory, then I would go for that if he wanted to stay on as third keeper. Because it's going to be quite difficult to get two. I mean, you're looking for two top-class goalkeepers, and as a top-class goalkeeper, going to be happy taking second fiddle. That's the way you're going to bring in two keepers and say, yeah, you've got to fight each other for the place. It's going to be difficult.
Aye, and that's a big part of the frustration the rebuild needed, that we've allowed too much to be done in the one season. We've got far too much, and we can't bring in 12 players in this summer and get 12 players out. It's no Football Manager. It won't work like that, but we should never have been in this position in the first place. So thanks to DMAC for kicking us off with that question. Chris, I'm going to come to you first for the next one. So a Gallant Few member and subscriber, regular listener, Teddy Bell, he's asking, will we be a better team without Kent next season? Teddy Bell thinks yes. I'll put my cards on the table. I'm a big Ryan Kent fan. I don't think we are a better team without Ryan Kent next season. What's your thoughts on it? Live podcasting, Foxy. That's show business. I don't think Chris is having the best connections tonight. You're on mute, Chris. Andy, I'll come to you for kicking us off with the Kent question, mate. I'll be a better team next season without Ryan Kent.
I'm the same as you, mate. I like Ryan Kent. I've always liked Ryan Kent. You just seem like that English Prem kind of youth squad kind of winger you get from that kind of Liverpool youth team, where it was the kind of the long sleeve, the gloves and the step overs. It just seemed like he was unbeatable at times. And especially in that loan spell, they say don't fall in love with loan players. But he was brilliant in that time. But in that the kind of European resurgence, going into that Europa League campaign, you know, I can remember. I say I can remember like it was 8 years ago, 80 years ago, 50 years ago. It was 6 years ago. Rapid Vienna at home. and he took the ball. He was wearing number 26 that day because it was the season he just came in. He wasn't even 14. He didn't have the kit number 14 because it was Europe. And two rapid players came in, pressured him instantly, and he flicked the ball through the middle of them and jumped through the gap. And it was something that it just seemed like this guy had all the confidence in the world. You flash forward to now, and sometimes you see flashes of that, Kent, and when he is in that mode, he is unstoppable. You know, I mean, I can't remember, it might have been Chris who said after the cup final at my first podcast, he said even some of the Celtic fans that he knows hate Ryan Kent. They have a fear for him. And I know some of my school pals are the same. They went, "Ah, Kent, he's tricky, you know." But it's the, again, for the new contract thing, I said it with Morelos in another podcast a few weeks back. I said, you're paying for the idea of that Kent because you might not get that Kent. That's the difference. I love the guy, and sometimes you get a goal at Ibrox against Celtic where he cuts in and he puts it in that far corner, or sometimes he kind of hit water if he fell out of a boat. The ball could either end at the top corner, it'll go into G or F behind the goal. So the question is all this time itself, whether Rangers players be consistent. Consistency has been their issues all throughout the team. And Kent's just one of the players that gets tarred with that brush because he does go from being a 9 out of 10 player to a 6 with 1 week passed. And it's perplexing.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's not a talent issue with Ryan Kent, it is a consistency. And there's a few folk in the comments calling it his contribution. And I do sometimes try and defend him, and it doesn't excuse his lack of goal contributions and assists. He absolutely, as a forward player, has to be involved in more goals. But I think nobody recognises the work he does off the ball and just keeping the shape. And I know effort and running is really a bare minimum, but he is very important as an out ball and getting us up the pitch.
Yeah, I like to be a kind of stat guy, but the one thing I don't have is the amount of out balls that go to Kent, because he is so pivotal in the way we attack. Even just the, you could say that the ball could go from the left side of the pitch to the right side of the pitch and he'll take 4 or 5 passes. Kent will just take the ball and do it himself. Yeah, there's no issue in give him the ball and he'll do something, because everyone seems to do it. Everyone gives him the ball to Kent, either out wide. He's coming through the middle in the kind of two strikers in a cam position, which is an interesting one. The thing with for next season, if we don't go with Kent, first of all, that's a massive loss in the amount of money we spent on him. And secondly, it looks like that role that Kent has been forced to play there now will be the norm for next season. And who's going to fill that gap? Are we going to bring in somebody that can play that way? Are we going to move somebody from another position to play that way? Could it be Cantwell potentially? It's a question that Michael's going to have to figure out, but I'd like to see him stay next season just for the sheer fact that if we make a £7 million loss, then it's indefensible.
Davey, I'll bring you in. I think there's a few comments for and against keeping Ryan Kent, and again, I'm familiar. I do want to keep him. I think he is one of the more talented players. What I do think is we need competition in that space, because that's been, what, 3-4 years, there's not been any real competitor for him. And when he's having an off game, nobody really plays him of the same effect. But even that, if somebody just push him to be at his best, I think that is a priority. Where do you sit in the Ryan Kent question?
Well, Ryan Kent is a conundrum, isn't it? Whether, as you say, he's good 1 week and the next week. But the thing that I think you've got to judge them on is his goals and his assists are very, very poor. And it's okay doing stepovers and all that kind of thing in the middle of the park. But if you're not adding to the team by scoring goals and giving assists, then you're not really doing the work that you're brought in to do. Actually, funnily enough, the last few weeks he's actually been playing a bit deeper, and I would quite actually like to see him as a wing back. I wonder if he could actually play that position. So between now and the end of the season, I might like to see him in that position. But I don't think he brings enough to the to the Detali, which is putting an awful lot of pressure on your centre forward, and well, probably Tillman as well, or the number 10, to score goals, because you know Ken's not going to do it. And at a certain level, I mean, okay, it takes two people to guard them, but at a certain level, you're just going to say, oh, let him shoot, because it's going to end up in row Z, or a fly past the post, hit the corner flag. You don't know. I mean, the only person that's got to get out the road if Ryan Kent shoots, that doesn't have to go out the road, is the keeper, because the keeper knows he's safe. So it's I think he's a really great player on his day, running and beating players and doing stepovers and all the fancy stuff. But what we need is goals and assists, and he doesn't produce that. So I'm afraid I would be or try him at wing back or let him go.
Well, on the subject of wing back, it's as if we've scripted this. The next question, I'm going to stick with you, Davey. Give you the first crack at this one. Friend of the show, David Heard. Oh, by the way, I've heard a rumour David Heard is going to come on and do his best 11. I'm looking forward to that, seeing what he's got up his sleeve for Mason. But David Heard, he's asked, is Yilmaz good enough? He's not convinced. So, Davey T, what's your thoughts on that question? Is Yilmaz good enough to be the first choice left back?
Well, I don't think we've seen enough of him yet to really judge him, because he's only played a couple of games. The games I've seen, I was the game before he was injured, I was quite positive about him. But the goal at the weekend where the ball went down inside him, I don't know if you can totally blame him, because I think Conor Goldson was a bit late in stepping out. But yeah, he sort of just ran away and left his position, didn't he? So I sort of blame him a wee bit for that. But I haven't really seen enough of him yet. I seen what I did see, that he's forward passing. He's got an eye for a good forward pass. I think if he gets in the team, gets some games, then I think he could be a good player. His lack of height worries me a bit. Because I think balls at the back post are going to be pretty dodgy, and we are already dodgy with corners, and so I'm pretty dodgy about that. I did see him once jump quite high, but obviously he was targeted by, I can't remember, was it Aberdeen that targeted him, or one team targeted him and kept putting high balls over to that side of the park.
Motherwell.
Was it Motherwell? Hmm. So I think teams will target him for that. I think he runs in an advanced position, so I think teams will try to get the ball behind him, which is probably also a job for Davies. But that was Yilmaz and Davies should have really cut out that ball the weekend against Motherwell for the, I think it was first goal. They should have between them. Should have cut out that ball. You can't just go blind on trying to play offside when there's midfielders going to come through as well. So it's a really dangerous position, and we'll probably lose more goals if we're going to play like that. I know we do try to play high line. It's really the way we want to play is get the ball in the other team's half. But there will be chances the other team will get by playing so a high line. But Yilmaz, undecided. He's not playing. I've not seen him enough to make a big decision on him.
Such a politician, undecided, eh? Andy, I'll bring you in on this. I can see why David Hales asked the question, because his first start was against Kilmarnock. Van Bronckhorst rested Barisic for the PSV game, and Yilmaz, he looked very forward thinking, but there was a couple of times he probably made a few naive runs, I would say, and I think you maybe seen that against Motherwell as well. What I would say, I think he's a completely different type of fullback for Barisic. I'm of the opinion that it's wait and see, and I don't I don't think there's very many people writing him off. I think there's far too many people saying he's going to be a superstar. But and I've been done with that before. I thought Jeremy Clement was going to be the next Rangers captain, and look how that turned out. So, what's your thoughts on Yilmaz? Too soon to tell, or is he good enough?
Well, I just checked. I was just checking quickly. I've got it as seven games/sub appearances and a couple Champions League sub appearances as well, which. Less said about the Champions League, the better. The guy's 21. I want it the same age as me. I just turned that the weekend there. Where our other left back is 30 years old. You know, it's a whole different ball game between Borna and Yilmaz. I like both of them. I think I like Borna. I've always liked Borna. I know he got a lot of stick at times in his Rangers career, but I've always stuck by him. Whether that's because his dad might kneecap me or not, I don't know. But Ridvan, I think, is a kind of a new talent. I mean, he's highly sought of from the Turkish perspective. I'm not going to say I watched the Turkish Super League, I think it is. I watched it before he left Bundesliga to come to Rangers, but I know I remember a lot of people saying, you know, he's doing really well for the under-20s. He came through the under-20s, the under-17s, and he made a couple of appearances for the senior squad for Turkey. And you don't do that if you're just Billy, no talent, you know. I think he is something. And Besiktas is an all right level. It's not like we've picked from the English Championship where we like to do things like that. And I'm actually a big fan of those kind of two deals, bringing Borna in from Croatia, in the Croatian League, and Ridvan from Turkey. I think that's two kind of well-scouted signings. I think I have to praise the signings there. I think Ridvan has a high upside. And can be a star for us, but he needs to. We need to keep him level. We need to just get him involved where we can. Now, because we're in that unique situation where Borna has been a starter for the last how many years has that been? But he's been there. He was in 55. He scored goals. He's free kicks. He's on the set pieces. Borna is a big part of the way we play, and to just switch him out. It will take some time, definitely, to get him involved and to the best of his abilities.
In all things being fair, Barisic has had a decent run since November. I don't think we can dispute that. Brilliant. And I've always been a big fan of him, but I heavily criticised him at the beginning of the season, and in my opinion, rightly so, but he's been decent.
Yeah, I mean, he has. It's obvious he has his critics. I think half of them sit behind me at Ibrox. But yeah, he has moments. I think he's going to get tired with the Celtic Park, you know, that back post ball. Abada has him in his back pocket. That entire game, I think anytime that cross ball came in, I was worried because he doesn't catch that blindside run at all. You could argue why does the ball get there, but it doesn't look good. Either way, and he's had a couple of really bad showings that's going to leave scars to his Rangers career. And I think when there is those massive games where he's made a big mistake, then he's going to get criticised for it.
Yep, thank you for David Heard for that question. Very quick one, I'll answer this question. Robert Robertson has called fuck it on tonight's pod. Yes, he has. He's having a wee bit of connection and technology issues. So Chris will be back with you next Thursday, no doubt. Hopefully with a better connection. David, I'll circle back to you for the next question, mate.
See, before you go on, can I just stay, because it's still a wee bit over Kent and Barisic still. I wonder if you didn't have Kent in the team, if Barisic would have been so attacking, because Kent does cover up a lot for Barisic to let Barisic get forward, and that's just another thing I thought about there.
I think you're right. See, with Kent, the wing back, I don't see, when you mentioned that, I got me thinking, I don't see Kent and Yilmaz in the same team. I see Yilmaz as a wing back if we play three at the back.
Yeah, that's possible. There's just one thing leads to another. I mean, if you look at the assists Borna Barisic has had, he's had some amount of assists, and there's nobody got a better left foot for crossing a ball than him. The ball that's his danger ball, let's put it that way, is a ball inside him, down into the corner of the 16-yard box. That's his sort of a bad spot. That's where he gets picked out a lot. But that just entered my head.
No, you're all good. So next question we've got is from Nicholas Moore. In fact, Andrew, I'll let you have a crack at this one first, with Davey last time. So what do you think of the rumours that Rangers will sign Nottingham Forest player Ponzo? So for anybody who didn't listen to the Daily News show this morning, why not? Pound a month, subscribe now, folks. I covered off the story that Nottingham Forest centre-half Ponzo. He's a left-sided defender currently on loan to Coventry City in the Championship, having a very good season.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By all accounts, personally, I think Nottingham Forest would want a few million for him. If they did want another loan, I don't really see Michael Beale to invest in the loan market for key players. Andrew, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think for this kind of player, I think if we're going to make an investment in him, then we need to be sure about it. Because we have, again, the way you said about loans, I don't think that works. We've had hit or miss from that kind of region. To come to mind, Joe Worrell, who Nottingham Forest, again, he's having a clear resurgence. I think everyone thought he was shite when he played for us, but yeah, there you go, he's making a career at Nottingham Forest in the Prem. Then you've got others like George Edmondson, who just didn't have it. So I think we need to be certain if it's something we want to do and we're going to be complete and upfront and say it's a player we're going to develop, then we need to say this public so we know that he has time. It's not going to, you're not going to, I think I seen somewhere that was £3 million. You're not going to get a centre-back from England for £3 million. It's the whole package at his age. And I think that's the only issue I have with it, is that I think our support struggles to give players time, especially in that, those kind of younger guys, especially in that defence. You know, the defence is one of the most eyes on scrutinised areas. Tav gets it, Goldson's getting it, Barisic gets it. I like Ben Davies, and I think he was a great signing. So I think if you're going to have Davies and Panzo, I think that could be a good kind of rotational partnership on that left side. I like him personally. From what I've seen, he's left footy, you know, he's good in the AR, kind of, he can play left back for cover reasons. I think as long as we're certain that we're under no illusions that it's not going to be a straight in the squad and he's going to be a star, he needs time to bed in.
Just kind of going off the topic of a question, a shout out to Cammy, who's been a massive supporter for the pod, and he's, you know, he's really supporting us with the subscriptions and the wee donation there. Thank you. And there was another couple of people asking what are the podcast memberships, basically for wherever you're listening. You can either join as a member on YouTube, or if you listen on Spotify or Apple, you can sign up to Acast or Anchor. And basically, it's £1 a month and you get all the additional content. So we do a daily news show Monday to Friday. I'm up with the Sparrows before work, reading the Daily Record, so you don't need to entertain it. I'll give you all the headlines, even the nonsense ones. And obviously, there's one or two additional shows a week for members. The last couple of weeks, we've had Chrissy's best 11s, my 10 questions, and an interview with Maurice Ross as well. But we do really appreciate all the support you guys give us. It does go a long way. Ultimately, we'll try to get as much access to Rangers players and Ibrox as possible. I was back in the press room last Friday, hoping to be back in on Sunday. So, Davey, I'll come to you on the Ponto rumours. For me, I don't really see much in it, and I'm no too disheartened if it doesn't happen. There's mixed reviews on Ben Davis in the comments. I do like Ben Davis, but I think we do need a bit of cover on the left side centre half. I prefer the idea of Jake Cooper. I'm not going to say Jake Cooper's a fantastic centre half, but he's got that characteristics that we lack in the team, and that characteristics. The technical term is he's a big bad bastard, and I don't think we have enough of that. What's your thoughts on these rumours of Ponzo?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not up into the English leagues enough to know. I hadn't heard his name until about 2 hours ago, so I can't really judge on what he's like. I think we do need to fill that position. I do think we need at least one more centre-back because it's one gets injured, then we're depending on an 18-year-old boy again. So I don't think King is totally ready yet. I think we've seen that. So I think we do need an older head. Is 22 an older head? Well, it's a lot more experience than somebody of 18. So I think we do need to bring in somebody and then slowly bring King in. I think hopefully King will be a brilliant player in the future. But it's just the step up is really, really big. But I don't know the boy, so I can't judge. I said I only heard his name about 2 hours ago, and when I was looking up and some Rangers things to talk about tonight, but no, I don't know. So sorry, I can't help you in that one.
No, and I cut off old game in the comments calling out Hylander. It's a sign that he's grown. Hylander's contract is up in the summer, and I don't know, I think there's more chance of me playing at centre-half for Rangers next season than Philip Hylander. It's a shame, because long-term listeners know I was a big Phil fanboy, but these things don't work out. It must be the Colin McDuff kiss of death, man, every time I back up where something happens. David, I'm going to stick with you for the next question first. This is from one of our very own podders, a bit of a famous character in the Rangers YouTube scene. Curry Muncher, so he's asking, what three players would you like to spend the night with for dinner and a bevy sesh? You can't pick Gazza, McCoist or Walter. Who would you go with?
Oh, probably the ones I'm going to mention that I would like to are bevy merchants was Jim Baxter. I'd love to have been in his company. Probably wouldn't have been home sober. That would be the negative side to that. Andy Gorham is another that I would really love to have been in his company, because I think when I was younger I wasn't too bad a goalkeeper as well, but I just hated playing in goals. So I think as a goalkeeper, and I think he was Rangers' best goalkeeper that I've seen. Even although his size, you just wouldn't believe that he was a top class goalkeeper. I think that's two. And well, yeah, the I'm going to give another two, because one I've actually had a drink with is Dave Smith. I met him in Luxembourg. He's a really great guy, so I actually had a drink with him. And the other one would be Colin Steen. And I could go through the wall. Actually, I would love to have a drink with Colin Steen, Tom Forsyth. I love that. That's all my favourite players. So I was going to do a top 11 with you sometime. I'm sort of naming them all off now.
I know, and it's exclusive insight into that top 11. Andy, what about yourself? What players would you take out for a wine and dine?
I was thinking of it because it was a really great question. I was honestly thinking, you know, first of all, the one that came to mind, which is completely wrong given the quote he said, is Dad O'Purcell. He was just as I was growing up, I was instilled with the Dado was my favourite. I remember one of my first Rangers tops I have, and it must have been just as I was getting into Rangers or going to games. I don't have many memories of him playing, but looking back at highlights, I knew there was a reason why I had Purcell 9 in the back of my top. But I always remember the quote he said, it was champagne is for women, real men drink milk. So he wouldn't be a brilliant drinker on that night, but he would be a great guy to just pick the brains off. He was a mad bastard. You know, winning headers with bandages, be strapped up and still going for the big head on, guys. Who else? I'd just love to sit down and have just a meal with Stephen Davis. He's my hero. He was always just a guy I liked to. I never played a lot of football, but when I did, I wasn't skillful enough to be a winger. I wasn't very good in goals. I wasn't hard enough to play centre back. But I could pass the ball, and I kind of always liked to play the way that Stephen Davis played in the midfield. He's just a great guy. Just a great gent. You know, he signed one of my tops this year, and I was fanboying. Actually, I was checking my arm, and I had goosebumps. I'm still a big kid. A third one is a tough one. A third one, there you go. He definitely a boozer, probably Barry Ferguson. We don't need to talk about his issues with alcohol or certain Scotland events with Alan McGregor. But, you know, Barry was just another mad Rangers man bastard in the midfield. From my time period and before that, he was just a great player, a great talented youngster coming through the team. Rangers captain. I just remember him as the captain when Wilder came back after Le Guin, which was just as I was getting into it. And he was the captain, so it was hard not to get behind the guy who supported the club from my age at the time. So, yeah, hard not to like Barry for someone my age. I can understand looking back, especially in the press now. He's a bit of a pain in the arse, but I'll go and cheer him at the Legends game. I still love him. Love Ferguson.
It's very, like, when we all talk about our earliest memories and first player, Rangers players we fall in love with, I felt like Barry Ferguson left me when he left Rangers. That's how much I loved him. But, like, coming back, winning his trophy and winning that treble, I despise him as a pundit, man. We spoke about that time again on the pods, but what he done as a player, you can't deny that. I was hanging about my three when you guys were talking. I've kind of split it. I'm a bit of a Rangers history buff, man. Like I've read both David Hare's books, and I love looking back into the archives. And I'd probably go two separate nights out. Like for actually just talk about different periods in Rangers history. Mine would maybe be Richard Goff, John Gregg, and Tiger Jock Shaw. Just the iconic. Incidentally, they're all with him saying a half there, but just the iconic Rangers captains, just for, like in three iconic eras, I'd love to hear the differences. But if I'm going for a night out up that Turkey Hall seat, I'm probably, Claudio Caniggia has to go up there, man. He's a mad bastard. And again, I love the guy, David Robertson, too, and the goalie, Andy Gorham. I actually managed to get a pint with Andy Gorham when Rangers played Rapid Vienna. It was in 2017. Basically met up, friend of a friend met up, and Bobby knew McCroy, so he flew over to Vienna. No, McCroy scoring with him. I was there just having a pint with Andy Gorham. Like, this is mental. And I reminded him of a story. I said, you used to manage the Quarry Bar in Rutherglen, and I grew up across the road for it. I was like, you fucker. You didn't serve me when I tried to get in. He's like, were you underage? I was like, aye, I was 15, but I looked older. He's like, he just grabbed a pint half the bar there. Take that, shut the fuck up and get on with it. So that was me told after keeper. Brilliant. So really good question for Curry there. And some brilliant answers coming through. And
I saw another name appearing there, Colin, Ian Durant. That's another name that I would. He would have been one of the best players in the world at that time, and unfortunately, yeah. Some basket help at Aberdeen decided that he wouldn't be.
Aye, I know. But aye, he's fully the part of Ian Gerrant. He would be a good one as well.
Did you not get slagged by, was it not a running gag that you get slagged by Walter and Ali because of his interim Rangers coach game? I think he played, was it? It was just after Le Guin got sacked or something.
The Kilmarnock game, we got beat 3-2.
I remember, is it Ali that said it somewhere? But he would never let him live it down. You fucked that up, mate. I just love that. The banter that goes in and that. And I have to say, because he's questioned, it was smart to take out McCoy's Walter, you know. Because it's hard not to just... I know he's a bit of an arse sometimes in the commentary and stuff like that, but I love Coyste personally. He's somebody that I could just sit and shoot the breeze with. I know he's well before my time, but it just seems like he's just one of us, you know. He just feels like that's a Rangers man I could just shoot the breeze with. So,
I totally agree. You could listen to him all day. I said that at the start of the pod, man. It's just, you could read out the yellow pages and you'd be fucking captivated. So you went, or maybe that's just my attention span. Who knows? Next question, Davey, I'm going to come to you first. It is from D-Mac again, and he's calling out Kamara, Arfield and Davis. So moving on, do you think we need to bring in one or more midfielders? He loves Hadji, but he has his doubts. He'll hold down a starting spot with Rashton and Cantwell being on fire. So I think, personally, this is my biggest worry going into the summer, the rebuild that we need in the middle of the park. Arfield, Davis and Jack are all up, all out of contract in the summer. I don't expect all three of them to re-sign. I think maybe one of the three. Don't know what happens with Glenn Kamara. I'd like to think he moves on. So I think we need more than one midfielder. I see Hadji playing further up, but I think we're looking at least two midfielders in the engine room. What's your thoughts?
Well, I actually heard a rumour today from one of the websites. I don't know where it was, that Galatasaray were interested in Hadji. But you hear things like that from Turkey all the time. I said it in the last pod, and you probably know where I'm going to go. I think we want to better the midfield. And for me, I certainly would give Jack his place. No, Kamara, for me, just wants to go himself. So he'll go. Davies has had his last dawn, I think. So I think he'll be away. I would give Jack an extension for a year at least. Starting with a year, and I'm afraid I would love somebody to come in and wants them to be sold, and hopefully get some money for them and bring in an improvement in Lundstrom. I think that's just the way I would go. So if we're going to get rid of all the midfielders, we're probably going to have at least need two to bring in. And yeah, that's my opinion on it.
So a sub-question to the question then, based on your answer, and I know you've never been a long-term admirer, John Lundstrom. We've spoken about it many a time, you and I, on this pod. If we were to move on, for example, Davis, Arfield and Kamara, can we afford to lose another one for the midfield? And going, no afford to, but can we realistically move another one in and then replace all of them? Because I think, keeping Lundstrom, we need at least two midfielders. We move him on, we need a third one in. I'll be backing ourselves into a corner with that.
I'll be honest with you, I would rather keep Arfield for another year than keep Lundstrom, because Arfield coming off the bank, going to be a bit Dutch now, coming off the bench, is for me quite a danger, far more than what Lundstrom is. Lundstrom is more a danger to Rangers than he is to the opposition. So I would rather have Arfield kept and give him a year. And Jack, as I said before in the pod, Jack, on his day, Jack's the best midfielder we've got. So I definitely, hopefully, hope that his injury problems are going to get sorted out they said the last operation that he got that it should help. So hopefully he'll get past his injury problems and we can get a good year out of him. But I would definitely keep Jack. As I say, I think he's the best midfielder we've got on his day.
Andy, I'm not sure the opinions coming through in the comments. And I think that highlights really like all the different combinations we could keep and sell, highlights the size of the problem we've got. Personally, I would move on Davis and Arfield. I think Steve Davis is fantastic servant to Rangers, but I don't think he's going to come back the same player. And it sounds brutal, but we do need players to consistently add value to the squad. Arfield, I think he can have an impact off the bench, but I think we need players to have more of an impact further than 20 minutes. So for me, I would look to move on Kamara, try and get a bit of money back, keep Jack and Lundstrom, Ration and Camwell, and add the two in. But where do you fall on this one?
Yeah, I'll start with Stevie Davis. At Fala time, I think, has got some. As much as it pains me to say it, because even like the 55 season, it looked like you were still getting that 24, 25, 3-year-old. You know, he didn't look that far off where he was. I know that when he first came back on the loan spell, he looked a wee bit shaky at the start, but he then grew back into the Stephen Davis that we knew and loved. But I think you're maybe starting to question, off a big injury, Stevie, you've got a wife, you've got kids. What do you think? He needs to have it again. Same with McGregor. I think he needs to look inside himself and say, right, what do we think? He needs to speak to his family. You know, I think that's a main one for him as well. I think out of the three, I can see him definitely. I can see him least chance of coming back. Arfield, I like Arfield off the bench. It's a shame that he's went from being a good kind of starter to being now a bench player, but you need to have depth in the team, you know, those bastards across the city. You know, they can afford to bring on somebody off the bench that you go, fuck, how's he no starting for them, you know? They spend a lot of money. Obviously, that's what happens when you spend a lot of money, is you get a lot of players in your squad that maybe don't even get in your squad to sit on the bench. I think they spent a nice amount of money on Haksabanovic from sitting the bench for half the time. But the thing is, he comes off the bench and he scores fucking goals. That's the difference, you know. And that's the thing I have to say with Arfield is, I know he comes off the bench, but like, he won his Aberdeen at Pittodrie this season. You know, he comes off the bench, and without that, we don't win that game. It's hard. It's the same way I think with Scott Wright. Is that Scott Wright seems to be better off the bench, but you give him a start and he doesn't grasp the chance. And it's such a weird, in that 20 minute, I don't know if it's because the opposition are tired, maybe they're hemmed in too much and they don't track him. I don't know. It's a solid professional. But I'd say I can see us, if we're going to be hungrier and try and clear Deadwood, if you want to call it Deadwood, then I could see him going. And to be honest, Kamara, I don't know what's happened to Glenn Kamara. I think we left Glenn Kamara in the away leg. Well, no, I think he left. We left him at the Ibrox after the Leipzig game. Or maybe he got lost in Seville. I don't know. I've not seen that Glenn Kamara all season. You could read a script of what Glenn Kamara does when he gets the ball. He gets the ball, knocks it a wee bit further away for their man coming into him, circles back, gives it to whoever's at left back and jogs back to the middle of the park. And it's just rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. He does nothing different. He doesn't take on anybody. This season, at least, he hasn't taken on it. I don't know what's happened to Glenn Kamara. To think all the teams that were linked with him, how much money that we were saying that we hope to get for him, comparing it to this season. The only good thing is we're probably not going to make a loss on him, given the fact we spent 50 grand on him. And that's what annoys me about Kent, is that we've spent 7 million on him. And you can say it's in instalments, whatever, it's still £7 million for a club that was in administration. That is a lot of money. And we can't just push it aside as, it's fine, we'll get by, it doesn't matter. It's a lot of money, especially when we have our brushes with financial fair play. We need to be wiser with this kind of thing. And it's so frustrating that we had so many. Morelos was such an asset. Kamara was an asset, you know. But I even Bornet once was like with Roma for some reason. And you're thinking, great, we've got loads of sellable assets. And then you get rid of Bassi, you get a Aribo, and you're going, right, who else is going to make profit on here? And I can see that the issue is, you know, we don't like Lundstrom. Well, I like him. I know David doesn't like Lundstrom, but he was a free transfer. That's the market that we hit. We hit free transfers. And it can be, it's so frustrating. But our hands are tied in these kind of situations.
You've kind of righted all the wrongs of world football there, Andrew. But no, you make a few decent points. And maybe, if we're being honest, with the size of the rebuild that we need, maybe if there is an offer for John Lundstrom, with the financial fair play, maybe we do need to entertain it as much as it pains me. I've long-term listeners know I've been a big defender of him, but maybe if that's the case, if we do need to add funds to the rebuild for the financial fair play, Lundstrom, Kamara, go. I take your point about Arfield coming off the bench and contributing, and Scott Wright as well. My issue right now is we've got too many natural novels. Natural Novel was a great squad player. Couldn't start. And I think a squad needs players who can come on and impact off the bench. But we've got too many players who, for whatever reason, can't impact over 90 minutes. Kemar Roofe has never got to play in 90 minutes, realistically. But he's still on the wage bill. We've got Scott Wright. We've got Scott Arfield. John Souter remains to be seen as well. So I think there's too many of them right now. But I think we'll see what happens in the summer. We're going to start wrapping up, gents, and we have one last question we've got to come. We'll finish it in a wee bit of a giggle. So, Davey and Andy, I'm going to ask you to give your goodbyes to the listeners and finish off with the last question. Start with you, Davey. Thanks for coming on. What is the most pissed you've ever been at a Rangers game or watching Rangers abroad? Don't get yourself in jail with this answer.
I don't really think I've been that drunk at a Rangers game. I know I was absolutely a Dortmund game. I went to see a few Dortmund games. Where I was an hour and a half on a bus before we got to the stadium, and you had to walk over the crates of beer to get to your seat. So I remember that, but I don't think I've ever been really drunk at a Rangers game. So I think I'll put my hands up to that one and say I've never been. The other thing I was going to say is about Scott Wright being on the bench or coming off the bench. Well, I think he really should, but the only thing is, I don't think it should be Ibrox. So that's I don't know where we get any money for him, but as they used to say, 20 pence in a packet of Shivas or a packet of cigarettes. Shiga's Regal. Yeah, Shiga's Regal wouldn't be cigarettes, of course, but. I don't think I've ever been pissed at a Rangers game. I really don't. I can't ever remember being real drunk at a Rangers game. So I mostly came from house, and I could just nick across in the ferry. And I mean, I left Scotland when I was about 22. So yeah, I wasn't really at the stage of, you know, getting stumped out of my head for going to football games. But as I say, the Dortmund games I was, but no, that's sort of the only games I can think of that I've done it.
Well, I need to get you over.
Yeah, well, there's always a first time, I suppose. But
thanks for coming on, David.
It's a waste of it. It's really a waste of the game, going to a game and getting really watered out.
I had my season ticket through the third division. That wasn't a waste. I much rather no watching the game or no being coherent than actually having to suffer the sobriety of it. But as always, Davey, a pleasure having you on, my man.
I know, Colin, just to do, when I played amateur football, we used to, I was playing at a lower level, and we always used to say, right, we'll go and watch the first team at 2 o'clock. And then when 2 o'clock came, we say, well, we'll miss the first 20 minutes. And then we said, no, we'll go at half time and watch the second half. I've never seen the first team playing yet. So that's the way that used to go.
Andy, always a pleasure having you on, my friend. Thanks for coming on. Same question to you. What's the most pissed you've ever been at a Rangers game?
Well, again, mine's very boring. I've never been drunk at a Rangers game. I don't drink that much. I'm a young guy, but I don't drink. I got given a nice bottle of Moët for my 21st by my uncle, and I went, what the fuck am I going to do with that? I don't drink. I can link two stories. One of them is the closest, is when it was for Leipzig last year at Ibrox, and I was in Greece at the time, and I just found, I was sitting in the hotel bar, because it was the only place I had Wi-Fi. And I kid you not, when Lindstrom scored that goal, I ran up and down the bar. I did laps at that bar, my Rangers top, and I took a scarf for me because I knew it was like, I'm going to be involved in this game. I don't care what's happened the rest of that day. That day's been chopped off. If it was a 5-night holiday, it was 4, because that day was chopped for Rangers. And I was swinging a scarf around. And I can only imagine what other people were thinking, what the fuck's this guy doing? That's the closest to drinking. Another one was, it's a deviation. It's when I was younger. I only turned 21, so I've not had a lot of time to really get involved with drinks at football. But it's a story that I like to remember, because my dad used to always tell me about it. I had issues with my leg in the past when I was really young, as a child, and in and out of hospital for surgeries and x-rays, you know, the whole shebang. I started from when I was born to about 15. That was the whole kind of, everything had to deal with this issue. And one of the times I just had surgery to fix it, and it was Rangers versus Lyon in the Champions League, and it was 07-08. I had to look up to make sure I knew which one it was. And it was a 3-0 victory in France, with McCulloch, Cousin and Beasley scoring. And I remember that specifically, that game. I can't remember who scored, because I was still quite young. I remember it was a game we won in France against Lyon. And we wheeled a telly into my hospital room to watch it. And all my family that were coming up to see me after my surgery were like, hey, what's the score? We're winning now, by the way. And I said, oh, that's great, man. And so I ended up, I don't think anyone spoke to me to ask how I was. We were too busy fixing on the game, going celebrating. Rangers is that way. It's a way of life, you know. And I don't care. I'm watching the game. Have you got my get well soon card? I don't care. I'm watching the game.
What a game it was, to be fair, mate. I mean, watching that, Cousin, McCulloch, and Beasley. I'm sure it was. Cracking game. You felt that night that something special was going to happen, and I suppose it did with that run. But thanks for coming on, Andrew. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, mate. I'm loving it. Loving being on the podcast. It's great to speak to you guys and get questions from the Rangers faithful. You know, it's great. Loving it.
I know, and thank you to all the listeners. I'll finish off. There's probably more. There's probably some states through the journey, I like to call it. I don't really like the term the banner years, because it was much much more enjoyable getting tanked up before going to Ibrox instead of watching Sebastian Faure and Ian Black in the middle of the park.
You used to be allowed to drink at that point. I was 13, 14, 15 watching my beloved Rangers take on fucking East Stirling, huh? Of Edmondson Krabari at bat, or John Daly up front. You know, I didn't have the crutch of being able to get tanked up before or after the game.
But mine's actually comes a couple of years before. I think it was the 2011 season. Just turned 18, and I was every weekend, every weeknight as well. I was a student. It was class. That student loan money went behind many a bar. So night before a 12 o'clock old firm game at Ibrox, and I've went out to, I don't know, I've ended up in Annie's Land, some party after the dancing. So dancing 8 o'clock, some grafty like 5-6 o'clock. Went to my pal's house after that, going to the game, just kept going right all the way through, and then meet up with my dad at Ibrox for the game. And like I said a few times in this pod before, anytime I get hungover, I like a good emotional hangover, a good greet at some sort of chick flick. So I've got to the stage, I've not been drinking for 2 hours, and I'm sobering up without sleeping, alcohol starting to wear off. and Penny Arcade comes on, I just see Walter Smith, and I don't know what it was. He came out and clapped, and I just started bubbling, absolute tears streaming down my face. My dad turns around, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "I don't feel well, Dad. Just leave me. I'll be all right. I've got a cold." Fucking middle of August or something. Sun's splitting the skies. And there's me, just an emotional wreck. I just couldn't contain myself, man. I still get a bit overwhelmed when I hear Penny Arcade now. So, that's probably the worst day I've been in at a Rangers game, and heaven knows what was yet to come in the coming years, but that'll do us for this evening. A massive thank you to all the listeners and the subscribers. Obviously, Cammy supported the pod throughout the night again with that donation. A massive thank you. We do appreciate people, well, they support the pod for what we're trying to do. I can't thank you enough. So I'll be back with you tomorrow morning for the news if you are up for it. If not, we'll be back with a live stream on Sunday night, 8:30. So until then, have a cracking weekend, folks. Take care. We are the people.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.